The Geek Cave, brought to you by BuzzTime. Great minds drink alike. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave podcast. I'm Darren.
The best part of waking up is Justin in your cup.
And I'm Chad.
I don't know what to say to that, Justin, except comics.
Yeah, comics. I love them. They're great. What you got?
Regale me with the news, Darren.
Okay, I've got just a couple of things. I got a hold of the latest Marvel Previews book, which details all of the upcoming comics in the House of Ideas.
For those at home listening, Darren just held the comic up to the camera.
For Justin and Chad's benefit, guys.
Hold it up to the mics. Let make sure that our listeners can see it.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. Anyway,
Now
books.
They know what's going to happen before I do.
A couple of books that you might want to look into. I apologize to our Marvel listeners. I didn't even realize that this was a thing that was ongoing. The big crossover this year is War of the Realms, where... do you remember... Thor the Dark World, the character Christopher Eccleston played, the one that had Twilight Sparkle's cutie mark on his chest?
Yes.
Yeah, the main bad guy.
Yeah.
Well, he's the antagonist of War of the Realms, and it seems to be covering like a whole bunch of books, including Asgardians of the Galaxy, Thor, Venom, the whole nine yards, Punisher, Daredevil. Well, War of the Realms... 3 and 4 are now out by the time you hear this. Be sure to check them out if you are a fan of big Marvel crossovers. Looks like we've got Luke Cage holding a big-ass hammer. I don't think that's Mjolnir. Thor's been pretty beaten up. Wolverine is there in his sweet leather jacket and cowboy hat. It's
now,
a good
now,
time.
Who's to say that Luke Cage isn't worthy to wield the power of Mew Mew?
I'm not saying that he's not. I'm saying that the hammer is like twice the size of Mjolnir normally. So that's why I assume it's not Mjolnir. Go ahead.
No. Yeah. No. Just keep going.
Back in the 70s, when the Star Wars films were brand new, Marvel, as you might know, had the tie-in comics. The downside is Marvel had... Yeah. Marvel had...
I'm just providing background music. Keep going.
Marvel had no freaking idea where the story was going, however. So Jabba the Hutt was actually like a green guy on two legs. Darth Vader had an entirely different backstory, all that stuff. And the comics continued for a while before the license... passed around a few times before it ending up back with Marvel and Disney. I say all that to say that those weird and wacky Star Wars comics are getting one final issue. Yeah.
40 years later,
True Believers Star Wars number 108 is available as a one-shot, 48 pages. It's $5.99. I'm just going to read you the description. A long time ago on a spinner rack far, far away, Star Wars comics were a lot different than they are now. With wild and intricately plotted storylines, Marvel's historic original run introduced an array of unique heroes and villains to play alongside George Lucas's characters. In celebration of Marvel's 80th anniversary, congratulations, Marvel, this Legends-era sequel to legendary comic book writer Archie Goodwin's Crimson Forever reunites Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Chewbacca, 3PO, R2-D2, and a bunch of characters you probably haven't heard of in a nostalgic roller coaster. It's available.
Isn't that the run where we learn that Darth Vader is actually Luke Skywalker's father's cousin's brother's former college roommate?
Something like that. And that Leia was not his sister and all that. It was, again, kind of a weird run. Because and to be fair, Marvel had no freaking idea. I mean, they were just handed the comic rights and they're like, go ahead, follow up the movie.
Well, to be fair, neither did Lucas.
One last book you might want to keep an eye on
that was a bigger burn than what Anakin received in the episode 3.
Oof
indeed.
For the Marvel side, one last book you might want to look at, Uncanny X-Men. If you haven't been following this, Cyclops is back, as an old adult Cyclops is back, and he's in his 90s outfit once again.
Does he have cataract?
No, he's Wolverine is back.
Just the one.
Yeah. Wolverine is back in the brown suit. And issues 17 and 18 are just teased with the X-Men lose one of their own, and the new Black King of the Hellfire Club makes a move. So another death in an X-Men comic. I know, giant surprise there. And I'm sure that person won't be back anytime soon.
Yeah.
Shifting over to DC. Actually, I want to hold that for a roundtable before Justin's long box. So the only other thing I have for DC, aside from the roundtable topic, is another update on Heroes in Crisis.
All right.
Issue six, we finally get some of the psychological, PTSD kind of talk that we were promised with the launch of the book. Most of issue six doesn't really advance the plot as much as it follows Wally West and the kind of impact on his life after returning to this world and, quite frankly, being alone. His wife doesn't know him. He doesn't have his kids anymore. And so it really covers his struggles of, everyone's so happy to see me, but I feel completely empty inside. And it's a really good, really nice kind of turn and look at like what...
Sounds like a Tuesday for me.
It's a really nice look at what that would do to a guy. It is interesting in that this gives us the third Wally West death scene in the series, the miniseries, which is on its sixth issue.
Has he died the once and they're just doing it three times?
Yeah,
or has he died three different ways?
He's died the once, but they keep showing us different kind of angles and perspectives of it. But the odd thing is, I don't know if this is on purpose, but when his body is first found, he's inside Sanctuary near a couch, I believe, in the living room area. The second time we revisit it, he's on the porch and he's getting hit in the head with a mallet by Harley Quinn. Now, in this issue, he's, trying to comfort Arsenal, Red Arrow, whatever you want to call him, who's in the middle of dying, and he gets shot in the chest by Booster Gold. So we still don't know who killed Wally West. It's looking more and more like it's either a Master of Disguise or the robots at Sanctuary just, going Hulkamania on everyone.
It's Professor Plum with the wrench in the observatory. That's my guess.
If they did a version of Clue out of this storyline, that would actually kind of sell.
Now I want to watch that movie again.
Chad, do you have any comic news before Roundtable and Longbox?
Hey, whose segment is this?
Sorry, I was just asking him before I went on.
Chad, do you have any comic book news before we go to Darren's Roundtable?
Why, yes. Thank you for asking.
Anytime, my friend. I'm very accommodating in my segment, Darren.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, the writer Mark Russell has written quite a few comic books. He did Snagglepuss. He did The Prez. Did the new Flintstones, comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And I have liked pretty much everything of his that I've read. And so he had a new one coming out called Second Coming, which I don't know if we've talked about or not, but it's effectively Jesus is sent back to Earth to be the roommate of a generic Superman stand-in called Sunman. The idea that Jesus was supposed to be then in a position to learn what it is to be a hero. This is the hero God wanted. 2,000 odd years ago.
Yes.
But what was going to, at least the way that Mark Russell has portrayed it, is that yeah, Jesus would see this kind of heroism, but Sun Man would also be learning that punching things only really solves about 0.1% of problems. Mm-hmm. And you can't punch, you know, hunger out of existence. You can't punch marriage problems out of existence. Well, I suppose you could, but then you have prison problems as the new existence.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was canceled for reasons which irritate me that I won't go into. But the reason that I want to bring it up is because the bright spot is that after it was delayed a second time and after changes were requested by the bigwigs at DC, Mark Russell asked for and received the rights to the story, so characters and artwork and so forth, so that he can pursue publishing it in the format that best represents his vision.
Awesome.
And so my editorial on this is I think that Vertigo should stop saying that they're comics for mature consumers. Because if you cannot in any sense critique a certain aspect of life, be that religion or superhero comics or anything else, then because it's too mature, then just assume that you're going to do kids comics for the rest of your existence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't understand crap like that.
If you don't like it, you don't have to read it. Not only do you not have to read it, unless it's like a college course where you have to read it anyway, but even if by not buying it, you're actually making the case better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like this, so I'm not going to buy it. And then if you really don't like it that much, you write a letter to Marvel saying, I'm not buying this because of this. And then you're at least saying, okay, you lost a sale because of this. And Marvel takes it and they file 13 it because, of course, they're going to, or DC, I mean, DC file 13s it.
Either way, either company it works for.
But there are ways of expressing displeasure without just signing a petition and then getting something canceled.
See, this is why we can't have nice things.
Hmm.
And I'm not speaking about our listeners, the best smelling audience ever. People are just too damn opinionated about everything.
I disagree.
Okay.
I'm just being opinionated.
Oh. Sorry, I've only had two cups of coffee today. I'm a little slow on the uptake.
I would say people are too mistrustful to other opinions.
Ah. That's not a bad one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with that. I'll go with that one.
So somewhere along the line, we forgot how to listen critically, but also listen open-mindedly.
Right.
Yeah. We've gone from, okay, that's your opinion. I don't agree with it, but you're entitled to it, to, no, you can't do that because I don't like it.
Actually, I wonder if it's not a both and. And here's where I say, what you say is correct. I think what you say is correct is that we have this, you know, because I disagree, you should not have it.
Yeah.
But we also have this other side that says that your opinion's your opinion, even if it's factually disproven. Yeah. Like, the opinion trumps the fact. And so I think we have, what we have is this weird line that shouldn't exist, but does anyway, where, depending on the situation, it's either my opinion trumps your facts, or, you know, this opinion has no bearing on greater society and therefore shouldn't trump anything.
Yeah, it's a shame that it got canceled, but I'm glad he got the rights to his work, and I hope he does pursue it in getting it published, whether it's online only or through another publisher, maybe Dark Horse or something. It's just stuff like this needs to be put out there because it's interesting. We need to break out of our mold a little bit.
Well, and ideas that are outside of the standard superhero characters, I think, are really where the future of the medium is at its best. I'm not saying that there's not great Superman and Batman characters. I'm not saying that the Sanctuary of the Heroes in Crisis, I'm not saying that it won't have important things to say and isn't stretching and pushing that. I'm saying that take something like Second Coming or, hell, Snagglepuss, you know, which is outside of anybody's continuity, and you can do things there that you can't do with Superman yet.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's an opinion that I, you know, a strong opinion that I loosely hold.
Okay.
Ready for it to be, you know, challenged and changed.
I'm always good with changing my opinion if the other side has a valid argument to make, and they make it clearly and concisely.
Oh, I don't make anything concisely.
Okay, clearly.
I'm a long-winded son of a bitch. Just wait until my review in the third segment.
Yeah.
I enjoy those. I can't wait. All right. Darren, you had a roundtable you wanted to go into.
Yeah, I thought this would be kind of a fun test to just kind of see if our audience enjoys it. So Batman...
if they're listening.
So Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is getting a third volume.
Yay!
Woohoo!
And I kind of forgot there was a second volume, but I digress. It's not only the 80th anniversary of Marvel Comics this year, it's the 80th anniversary of Batman. And that collides with the 35th anniversary of the Ninja Turtles. So,
which also collides with the 45th anniversary of Rush, the band.
Yeah. So, long story short, this is out starting May 1st. It's co-published by IDW. Crane manages to get his hands on the most dangerous technologies in the DC universe. Yada, yada, yada. The reason I bring it up is because it made me wonder what other great comic book crossovers we haven't gotten yet that we should get. Because when Batman Ninja Turtles was first announced, it turned out to be pretty great.
It did, yeah.
So we posted,
and the same with the Justice League Power Ranger crossover.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yeah, and He-Man Thundercats was good as well.
Yeah.
So I posted this on our social media channels, facebook.com/GeekCave or at GeekCavePodcast on Twitter. Some of the suggestions from our audience include X-Men and Animaniacs. Mostly, I want to see Wolverine interact with the Warners.
Yes.
Gremlins versus Aquaman.
Gremlins.
Gremlins versus Aquaman.
Versus Aquaman.
Oh. The whole thing takes place at an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet. That's open late.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pause for about 10 minutes so you can let that sink in.
Oh, my gosh.
And we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
And you guys still have a few days to give us your suggestions. The best suggestion does win a random prize from our prize closet. Another one, Rick and Morty meets Batman Beyond.
Oh, God.
So there's some good ones out there. Gentlemen, what do you think would make... would make a good crossover.
Phineas and Ferb meet Inspector Gadget.
Ooh.
Oh, see, I was going to say Inspector Gadget meets RoboCop.
Hmm.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Wowza!
I would like to see... I like how you both win Inspector Gadget. I'd like to see...
Because you... Don Adams was a freaking genius.
No, I love it. I love that you guys both went there. It wasn't a criticism in any way.
The whole thing takes place in the Get Smart universe.
Oh, my gosh. What about...
Dark Helmet versus Darth Vader?
Ooh. Spaceballs Wars.
A Heathcliff Garfield crossover?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many options out there.
Eeyore meets Marvin, the depressed android from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Now, in that, how many times did Marvin end up witnessing the birth and death of the universe?
Once is enough to witness both.
The trillions of years that he existed and everything had been replaced except for that one sore, one sore joint. That
one diode. Yeah. Oh.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. The Batman from Batman Year One meets the Batman from Dark Knight Returns meets the Batman from Batman 66.
The Walking Dead and Space Ghost.
Ooh. Space Ghost coast to coast covering the events of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
I think we covered some good ground here, guys. That's
I would like to bring up at least two here that actually did happen that are crazier than anything I could have come up with. Laverne and Shirley meet the Force.
Wait, what?
Laverne and Shirley meet the Force, as in Laverne and Shirley and Star Wars.
Okay.
And the mini worlds interpretation, which is Terry Pratchett's Discworld. Meets the Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
And I'm just, I can't do better than that, personally. Laverne and Shirley meet the Force. I mean, I suppose it's possible. They knew Mork.
It's true. That is true.
Well, if you're listening and you have any other suggestions or suggestions you think are better than ours, reach out to us on those social media channels. We will pick a winner of a random loot box, if you
also,
will.
Also, we'll Google them, so be original.
Yes.
Yeah, we will be checking your word. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, that was fun. All right. I guess if there's no other comic book news, we should move on. I should mention our sponsors, who I forgot to do at the top of the hour, because we're, well, top of the half hour at this point. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Buzz Time, Great Minds Drink Alike, and GameStop, power to the players. We appreciate you. You guys are awesome. Please don't leave us. We love you. We can change.
if we have to.
Yeah.
I guess.
All right. Well, I guess it's time for the main event. Ghent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
So, I decided to take a step back and look at some of the heroes out there and the different archetypes, and I've come across one that I don't think has ever really been developed much over the years. Certainly not in my sphere of influence. A dark clad anti-hero, almost stalking the night, protecting the innocent from villainy. Someone that strikes terror into the hearts of those wrongdoers. A secret character that is almost legend to everyone, but feared by many and praised by others. I am, of course, referring to Zorro. I was inspired by Chad's movie review last month, so I thought I would dive a little deeper into the character. Zorro was created in 1919 by Johnston McCallie. The character's world is set in the Pueblo of Los Angeles during the era of the Spanish California, which is about 1769 to 1821. Protects the commoners and indigenous peoples, the Pipples. See last month's review. Against corrupt and tyrannical officers and other villains. He generally has a high bounty on his head, but is too skilled and cunning to be caught. And he also delights in humiliating the bumbling authorities who tried to catch him. Ha ha ha! He's a skilled acrobat and a swordsman, and is generally known for carving the letter Z into his foes or nearby objects as a calling card. Yes, into his foes. Mostly on their clothes, but, you know, little jabby-jabby, little deeper, you know, whatever. Get your point across. Pun intended. And he also rides a black horse called Tornado. His secret identity is Don Diego de la Vega. One of the richest landowners in California, lives in a huge hacienda with tons of secret passages that lead to a cave that he uses as his headquarters for Zorro. Diego hides his abilities in public by pretending to be a coward and a, quote, fop, which is someone who puts more pride in their appearance than anything else. The opposite of me. Well, not the coward part, though.
It's an important distinction.
It really is. It really is. I mean, I tell my son, Daddy only runs in emergencies. Now I'm going to tell you which way I'm running, but that's when I run. he debuted in 1919 in The Curse of Capistrano in the pulp magazine All-Star Weekly. It was meant to be a standalone story, but 1920s adaptation The Mark of Zorro, starring Douglas Fairbanks, skyrocketed the character's popularity. McCauley went on to write 5 more serialized stories and 57 short stories based on the character. The original story, The Curse of Capistrano, it focuses on Zorro and Diego as separate people and not revealing that they are one and the same until the very end. Which is an interesting take. Generally, kind of, you know, early on or about halfway through, it's revealed that this is the what's going on. But no, they waited until the very end. That's cool. Typically wears all black with a cape, a flat-brimmed hat, or sombrero Cordobas. I believe I pronounced that correct. I probably didn't. And a mask that generally covers the top half of his face or the entire top half of his head. He uses a rapier or a sword. And a bullwhip. He relies more on cunning and skill than brute strength to defeat his opponents. Some of the possible inspirations for Zorro would be like the Scarlet Pimpernel from Emma Orski, who was kind of a lateral predecessor, and Robin Hood. Another influence could be from the 1890s Penny Dreadful treatment of the legend of Spring-Heeled Jack. The heroics of Spring-Heeled Jack were portrayed. He was a masked vigilante who used acrobatics, a cave as a headquarters, and would leave an S as his calling card. Sounds familiar.
Spider-Man's been here.
Flip, flip, motherfucker. It wasn't until 1948 that Zorro got his first official comic book release. And I know I tend to stick more to comic book characters, but pulp magazines around the time were the predecessors of comic books, and this is kind of one of the granddaddy characters of them all. In 1948, he appeared in Hit Comics number 55 by Quality Comics. And around 49, Dell Comics followed up with their own treatment, and in 57, they started publishing stories based on the Disney show Zorro, which, again, skyrocketed the character's popularity, kind of brought it back into the public eye. Currently, I think Dynamite Entertainment holds the rights to the comic books. Back in between 2008 and 10, they released a 20-issue miniseries about the character, and they also did a crossover with Zorro and the Quentin Tarantino movie Django Unchained. So, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Not so much the plot of the movie, but the characters themselves just kind of intertwined. There have been 65 stage productions based on Zorro. Live stage performances. Alice Cooper wrote a song about Zorro, Zorro's Ascent, on his Zipper Catches Skin album. Various movies have been made about Zorro. I mean, we all remember the Antonio Banderas one from the late 90s, would you say, Chad? Early 2000s?
Yeah.
Tons of movies. There have also been video games made about Zorro. Going as far back as the Apple II and the Commodore 64. But they include The Mask of Zorro on the Game Boy Color, Shadow of Zorro on the PS2, The Destiny of Zorro on the Wii, and Zorro Quest for Justice on the DS. So I'm thinking, let's see, Chad reviewed a Zorro movie. I'm reviewing Zorro the character. Darren, I've given you a list.
Find me a copy.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
And Zorro's legacy continues on. I mean, he's been instrumental. The character's been instrumental in helping influence other such characters, such as El Cabong, Quick Draw McGraw's alter ego. Look it up, kids.
Yeah.
The DC Comics character El Diablo, a Wild West hero who generally typically wears all black and uses a bullwhip. I can't think of any other character that Zorro may have influenced. I don't know what other character that would dress all in black and fight crime in the night and strike terror into the heart. Nothing's coming to mind.
I got nothing, no.
No,
the Shadow.
The Shadow, yeah.
Well, maybe, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Actually, I don't know which one came first.
Zorro's
probably been around longer.
Yeah, I think the Shadow was created somewhere in the 1920s, if my memory of my previous long box is correct.
Go back and listen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go back and listen.
You're on your own to find it.
Yeah, it's been a while. Oh God, that was like my 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 long box. You got a ways to go. I would say Zorro came first. 1919 is pretty old. Yeah, no other major characters have come. No, I can't think of anybody.
Hmm.
No. That's Zorro in a nutshell. He really is kind of the archetype for the non-superpowered vigilante hero. You know, rich guy pretending to be something he's not in public, and at night dresses all in black and fights crime. You know, has his headquarters out of a cave. Nothing since then has really made that kind of impact.
Man. Way, that's a good long box. Way to step up to the bat, man.
Thank you. I try.
You know, the Wii version of the Destiny of Zorro, I could buy new for $6.87 today.
Chad?
We could put it right next to TMNT on Darren's shelf as games that we made him play, but he doesn't ever want to play.
What'd you say, $6.87? I've got $3.44 with your name on it if you do that.
How do we like
that? I will go in halvesies.
Ooh, get it for less with a trade-in. What'll they give me for TMNT?
A nickel.
You see, we can't get rid of TMNT. We have to preserve that. It's now part of the Geek Cave heritage.
No, I can trade it in for $1.03.
Hey!
Okay, apparently heritage has a price. And it's $1.03.
There's never going to be a Geek Cave museum. You trade that in.
You don't know. Generations from now, this podcast... No, you're right. There's never going to be a Geek Cave museum.
Yeah, trade it in.
Unique control system. Use the Wii remote to cross rapiers with your enemies, including signature Z/ moves.
Yes!
They make sure to mention that at least twice. Swashbuckling action for the whole family to enjoy using the Wii remote to recreate Zorro's signature Z/ moves.
Something tells me you will be doing that a lot. Do it, Chad. Buy it.
I probably will. Oh my God.
What?
It's got 40% one-star ratings.
Ha 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 ha!
Oh. Destiny of Boredom is probably my favorite title here.
Destiny of Boredom.
Let me start by saying this game sucks. Graphics are PS1 games graphics.
I played
and beat this game because I have to finish every game I play, but my stomach hurts just thinking about that. Had to restart my Wii 10 times because of clipping and freezing issues.
This might actually replace TMNT as Darren's least favorite game.
Buy it for a gift for all 2 Zorro fans out there.
Aww.
And they'll hate you afterwards.
Darren, we love you dearly, and we want nothing but for you in this life to be happy and healthy, but we have to make you do this.
Okay. I don't have a game set for next month, so go ahead. Let's do this.
Darren says as he resigns himself to his fate. Ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience, on that glorious note for Chad and I and that dismal note for Darren, we're going to wrap up the comics segment. Once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, BuzzTime, and GameStop. Remember that you can find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or, you know, say, hey, Alexa, play the Geek Cave podcast, or wherever you prefer to get your, you know, podcasts from. I prefer to get mine in the mail. It's old-fashioned, but it works.
It's hand-picked artisanal podcasts.
Yes, it is. Be sure to download the gaming and movie segments. We got a lot more fun coming for you, and we'll see you then.